జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. తెలియ ప్రవిష్టం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, ప్రేమసహు శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన్ ధామ్కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి, మధురపురి ధామ్కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి, గంగమాయకి, యమునమాయకి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో శుభదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసారసాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్. శ్రీమద్భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతస్ అర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ. జోవారి మృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషాం ధాన్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వరై సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణ. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాతరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అదితిదీర్షదాం ధమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య మరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదా మురారేర్ మధురీం న కణికాభికాభికావి. మమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So last Sunday we were talking about Shravanam, if you remember where we stopped. When there are other conceptions in the mind, sankalpams inside, Shravanam is not possible. This is the important thing. Shravanam is not an easy thing. It's just not hearing with the ears is not Shravanam. Shravanam process, what Bhagavadam says is, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnor Smaranam, isn't it? That Shravanam, what is mentioned there, is just not hearing with the ears. We have all this understanding about it. It is just hearing with the ears. No. What it is if we have some other priorities in our life, inside our mind, which is working very strongly, then it will not allow anything to get in. Remember that example we had discussed about it. So we're saying here that different kinds of vyavaharam has got inside. And because this vyavahara means these different kinds of dealings in this material world, transactions, all kinds of transactions we got involved. And that's all has got inside. And when that's all inside, Shravanam is not possible. This is the point. This is the point. That is why, remember, akovida, kovida, vada, vada, that intelligent people, Suraya, they don't mix these two things together. Self-realization and Vyavaharam. It cannot go together. Vyavaharam, if it takes over, then self-realization must stop. It cannot happen. This is the thing. It is an important understanding that two things you can't mix together. Just like the body and the soul, all the imperfections of the body we are imposing on the soul and get confused about it. I am suffering, I am enjoying, I am crying, I am smiling. All these are imperfections, relationship with the mind and the body. We are imposing all that on the soul and suffering. Similarly, while Shravanam is happening, it says here, that little things, Brahma's position you can imagine, when the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras ask this question, Brahma is answering, I can't answer that question, he says. And he is supposed to be the top of the ladder, isn't it? He's the head, from there all others have come. So if Brahma could not answer it, then what chance others have got? Brahma's position, Brahma is a jnani, realized soul. He is sitting there on the top of the lotus flower. in head above, much ahead of us. And he says he can't answer the question. So if he's saying that, that means there's a serious problem, that he is also stuck somewhere. Somewhere he's stuck. So I'm unable to cross, he says to the Kumaras, for the answer to your question. So then that they decided, let us now meditate upon the Supreme Truth, Absolute Truth, Krishna. And let's see what the answer comes from there. It was then that Krishna appeared in the form of a Hamsam. Hamsam means swan, isn't it? The Paramahamsam. Paramahamsam appeared as a swan. So he has personalities who are highly realized souls. Generally they are advised as Paramahamsas. We say, Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya. This Paramahamsa word has come from that. Why? Because they know how to separate it out with the truth and the false. As far as they are concerned, the truth is the soul, not the matter. So they have such fine discrimination in their realization that they can clearly say that in all their dealings with this world, they will maintain this position, that the material world is a false thing or it's a temporary thing, whichever way you like to call it. This is not the important thing. Important thing is self-realization, or to be situated on the platform of the soul, or what I am. That awareness all the time, who I am. That is why they are called Paramahamsas. Paramahamsas, they are like the Hamsam. So Krishna also appeared in the form of a Hamsam here, like a swan here, isn't it? Hamsam is actually it is a representation of his form, of the form in the sense that Hamsam has a god that generally Hamsams you don't find in this world. People say that in the Bhagavatam there is a reference to a Hamsam in the Manasa Sarasa. Manasa Sarasa means that is where Kailasam, Lord Shiva's abode. In Kailasam there is Manasa Sarasa. There is a famous lake there. In that Manasa Sarasa there is Hamsams there. These swans there. But generally they are not seen here. But what is their quality? It says here, so if you keep the milk and the water together with their beak, they can separate the water and the milk. They'll take only the milk and leave the water there. This is a very special feature of their beak. That's what we understand about them. That is, Hamsams have got this special feature that they can separate the water and the milk. So therefore they are called Hamsams. So Kshiranira Vivegi Hamsa. Kshiranira Vivegi Hamsa. So in the Hamsa form he appeared. And here in the Sridharajari Swamiji says about that here, that the Yatha Hamso Niram Kshiram Cha Pradaktam Shakta evam aham gunas chedas chedi khodhayidam hamsarupena gadosmi iti. He says here, yadha hamso niram kshiram cha pradaktam kartam shaktaha. Just like a hamsam is capable of separating between the milk and the water, shaktaha, evam aham gunas chedas chedi khodhayidam hamsarupena gadosmiti. Similarly, between the senses and the sense objects, how to separate them out, this is the science I have spoken to them, he says. Sri Rajari Swamiji's words on that, that is how he says there. And he says, that exactly the way between the milk and the water gets separated, similarly, the senses and the sense objects, senses and the sense objects, I am able to break it up in the form of a Hamsam, and I replied them in that way. In that way I replied to them, that question was answered by me. Krishna says this. Krishna says to Uddhava this, isn't it? Krishna says this to Uddhava. So Uddhava's question was that if you remember, Uddhava's question was, what was Uddhava saying? Samshaya shrunodo vacham tava yogeshwareshwara na nivartada atmasto yena brahmidi memana. And in the 13th chapter, Sanaka, the four Kumaras were asking this question, గుణేషు ఆవిషదే చేదో గుణాశ్చేదసి చ ప్రభో కథం అన్యోన్యం సంత్యాగ ముముక్షో అది తితీర్షోహో. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, గుణేషు ఆవిషదే చేదం, గుణం ఆర్ త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ దే ఎంటర్ ఇన్ టు ద మైండ్, దే ఎంటర్ ఇన్ టు ది మైండ్. గుణాశ్చేదసి చ ప్రభో, వై? బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ ద మైండ్ గెట్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్. And the sense objects are present inside in the form of vasanas, in the form of vasana. Practically, our whole life is centered around this vasana inside. We may think that we are very independent, but practically we have no independence. Everything is controlled very well from within. Because it's done in such a subtle level, we don't understand it, that's what's happening. As I mentioned before, when we come to this world, we bring a bag with us, our baggage. At the back. And in that baggage, all it is stacked up, one over the other. What all I have to do here in this life. Everything is there inside that. And when, as soon as we, the five senses of knowledge and five senses of action have become active at a certain stage in life, isn't it? When they become active, one after the other, this vasana start controlling them. And accordingly, the senses will go into action. This is what life is all about. We think that we have made such independent individual decisions. But all these decisions are already made there in the subtle body, what you will be doing this life. And you will only be able to do what that is there in that bag in this life. You won't have any taste for anything else. That is why you find a different taste in different people. That's coming from there, because of the vasanas inside. So those vasanas, what we have created, what we have brought with us, will activate our mind and the senses and will go into action. And no matter how hard you try to suppress that, the mind will turn in that direction, because inside it is prompted from within to go in that particular direction. And sometimes you can see this, people who have a special taste for music or sports, or different kinds of arts, or even for science. There is a tendency inside them, or technology. Some people will catch it up like this. Some others, even if they struggle hard, they won't get it. Why, the vasana is not there, what can you do? We call it as talent, isn't it? We call it as talent. What is this talent? Talent is nothing but the vasana inside. That person, in his previous lifetimes, he has operated on that state of things, that he has acquired that qualities with him. And that taste has developed inside, and it is that taste is dictating to him and comes out in the form of a talent. That's all it is. And we think that somebody is so amazing, he is so much credit for that, this, that and the other. But actually it is a vasanas that has come about. So that's why Krishna is saying here, that when the Kumaras ask this question, that how one who wants to mumukshoho adititirshoho. Remember this. Mumukshu means one who wants to get out of this situation. This is a most dangerous situation, isn't it? For lifelong, many, many lifetimes, we are stuck in this interaction between senses and mind and the sense objects. If you could move a little bit forward, please. For several lifetimes, we have developed this attitude or this connection between the senses and the sense objects, through the mind, through the senses to sense objects. Now, mumukshu is that person, mumukshu ho adi titirsho ho. Kumaras are saying to Krishna, to Brahma, mumukshu ho. Somebody wants to get out of this bodily life, this bodily existence. He does not want to accept another material body again. He wants to free himself from this. Mumukshu. He is called mumukshu, isn't it? So, mumukshu ho adi titirsho ho. For him it is very hard. That is Kumara's statement. For him it is very, very hard to free himself from this and develop that mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam is that quality which actually makes a person of thinking of escaping from this. He has come to the very bottom of the problem. Only when that mumukshatvam will develop in a person. That means he has understood this world very well, and he has completely realized that he has to escape from here. Does not want to accept another material body again. We also say all these things. But if we get a nice lottery and everything becomes comfortable in life, then we will change our mind. So our mumukshatvam is like that. Proper mumukshatvam means, no matter what happens in this life, he has seen everything in this world and understood it is nothing worthwhile working for in this world. He has come to that conclusion. He has also come to the understanding that everything in this world is temporary. Less like, if you look back into all the great personalities, you will see this in their realization. This is the first statement from them. Yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved. Buddha says that, isn't it? When Buddha was a prince, wasn't he? He was a very wealthy prince and had every facility at home. And still, he decided to leave home and take to renunciation and self-realization. So when the father asked him, why don't you stay home? And why don't you follow our parampara? We are a big race of kings who come in a sequence. And their parampara, why don't you follow? Why do you break away from this parampara? Every father feels that, isn't it? When the son breaks away and changes the parampara. So why don't you do that? So what was Buddha's reply? Buddha's reply was, my dear father, your parampara is great because it's all made of vanity. But I have another parampara, which is the parampara of the sages, the rishis. I follow that parampara. In our parampara, it is like this, that we give up everything. We only think what we are serious about, concerned is, yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved, where there is no death, no old age, no birth. Yadi... janma jara maranam na bhaved. Yadi ishtaviyogam na bhaved, where I don't have to get separated from those whom you have a attachment in some form has developed. Yadi ishtaviyogam na bhaved. Yadi sarvatra, everywhere when I see this misery, he says, yadi kasir yadhir na bhaved, where is the question of any happiness in this world? This is the Buddha's question to his father. So it's the same question. Everybody has asked, all the great acharyas, great devotees, their life has only shown this one thing to us, that somehow or the other, this is an opportunity Krishna has given to us to free ourselves from this cycle of birth and death. It is not meant for any other purpose. So therefore, he is called a mumukshu. Mumukshu is that one, that person who has that strong desire to free himself from this cycle of birth and death. And it is only due to this lack of mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means that quality to escape from material life or from the cycle of birth and death, that we are unable to make progress in the spiritual path. That's all it is. So that is why in the very beginning, what did Krishna say? Krishna says, vyavasayalpiya buddhi ekeha kurunadana. That vyavasayalpiya buddhi and this mumukshatvam are connected. Vyavasayalpiya buddhi ekeha kurunadana. Bahushaka hyanandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. He said that, isn't it? So Krishna stressed that point from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, and the same thing Krishna is saying here also to Arjuna. So he says, vishayam and senses and such objects, and how they can be broken up, to show that only for that reason I appeared in that form of a hamsam or the swan, he says here. So in other words, Krishna's point is that normally when somebody comes, just to tell you the way the mind works. Say you went for a marriage or some function like that, and all your relatives and social circle is all there, everybody is there. Suddenly someone has come there whom you haven't seen for a very, very long time. And you are thinking in your mind at the time when you saw that person, who is he? I know him, but I don't know, I can't really figure out who he is. So you keep on thinking about him. You are trying to find out. Mind is saying that, probably it throws a lot of ideas. Mind is telling, is he that person or is he that person? Something like that. Quite often it happens in social functions, because that's where you meet people, isn't it? So you don't see this person every day. Once in a way, in some social function, you will pop up and you will see him. And then immediately a relationship established, talking about old days or something like that. So sometimes, as you get older, they will have their children, grandchildren like that. That parambara is also going on. So sometimes you may not locate somebody and identify who he is. So he comes to you and you are still thinking in your mind. You just don't know. But you know he is something, some way connected with you on a bodily level. But then he reveals who he is to you. He reveals himself to you, who he is. He says to you, I am so and so, your uncle's great maternal uncles or this, some connection he tells you, and says, I am his nephew or something like that. Ah, then you got it, who he is. So as soon as you've identified, then his whole history is in you, inside you. You don't have to then inquire about him anymore. You know who he is then, isn't it? On a bodily level, I'm saying this. As soon as you have located who he is in that family connection circle, who he is, immediately you have identified with him and you have understood everything. And the mind stops the inquiry at that point. Up to that point, the mind will keep on working, trying to work out who he is. But as soon as you get to know who he is, by some way, when he reveals himself through some way, then immediately this thing stops. That's what Krishna is saying here, that our understanding is, up to that point, our mind has moved. The intelligence also. Mind and intelligence are working together. But when it's happened, this question has gone. This question has gone away from here. So, so at that point, it switches off from this thought, it moves on to another thought. Something else will take over then. Completely a different topic it could be. And so this is the way the mind works. Mind gets involved in something and then probe into it till it gets that answer. When it gets it, it leaves them. It is, just to tell you that, mind is called mayam. Mayam means to measure. All the time, it wants to bring everything under the control of the mind, within the capacity of the mind. And when the mind comes there, then when it gets it, it satisfies and changes its function to something else. Isn't it? That's the way the mind functions. So, one answer, what Krishna is saying here is that when all these different thoughts are coming, don't look into the contents of that thought. If you look into the contents of the thought, you will be in trouble because then you are in the mental platform. We say mental platform, you know what that means, isn't it? What does it mean? We are always on the mental platform and then we are telling everybody don't be on the mental platform. This is the beauty of that. Who is not in the mental, everybody is on the mental platform and then we are telling, oh, don't be on the mental platform. It's quite a word frequently used by the devotees. They say don't be on the mental platform. So what does that mean? So if the mental platform is such that this mind nature is like this, if you somehow or the other, when any mind is getting absorbed in thoughts, instead of getting involved in the content of the thoughts, if you ask the question, who has these thoughts happening, then you have got out of the problem. There is absolutely no point in trying to satisfy the question, what the mind is throwing at us, and trying to answer those questions. If you do that, you will remain on the mental platform till you get to Golders Green. You'll be on the mental platform. You will not escape from mental platform. Mental platform is not like that. Mental platform is such that one thought, after some another thought, after that another thought, another thought, in this way it goes on. You wake up in the morning, the thought's coming. Then you go to bed in the night, the thought's finish there. And then starts again in the morning. So this is what Krishna is answering here. Krishna's point is that when these thoughts are coming, do not get involved in thinking about the contents of the thought. That we have to cultivate ourselves. It is not possible nobody can help us on that because it's our mind, isn't it? Our mind. How will otherwise detachment will come? If I have to sort, because whenever these questions are coming from the mind, remember we mentioned this before, trying to answer the question is not the solution. Trying to answer the question is not the solution. Say for example, if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam and somebody asks you, have you got any doubts in the Bhagavatam? You can write another book which will be 10 times the size of this Bhagavatam with the doubts what you have got. And if Sukadeva Goswami to sit there and to answer all your doubts, he will require 1,000,000 years to answer all the questions what you have got. Is it not? So that's the way it is. So therefore, advanced jnanis and realized souls, they don't give importance to your questions. Questions have no meaning because of this reason only. That question is coming, you have to ask the question, who has the question? That means you are on the spiritual platform. So somebody is telling someone else, don't be on the mental platform, he should be doing this. Otherwise it's no point. Otherwise all of us are on the mental platform. Is it not? We are all on the mental platform. So mind is powerful and that mind is always controlling us at every step. So Krishna's point is that so who is this person who is asking the question from inside? That is what Krishna told straight away to him. He says, evam prishto mahadeva swayambhur bhutabhavana dhyayamana prasna bijam nabhyabhadyata karmathi. Because Brahma was absorbed in karma, even Brahma also got involved in the same situation like that. So if we cultivate that understanding, what Krishna says here, the possibility is that you won't get driven by the mind too much. We think that if we have a questions in the mind or many questions are coming up, we normally think that if I can sort out this problem or sort out that problem, then my problems are finished. No, problems never get finished. The mind will create another problem for you the very next moment, and then you will sort that out, and then the next moment there will be another one to sort out. So this way endlessly it will carry on. Which, what does that mean? It means chittavritti will increase. Constantly the mind will be in shaken situation. Mind will be completely in a disturbed state. And if the mind is so disturbed all the time, Krishna says, what does Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita? The very question Krishna is asking us, instead of we asking Krishna, Krishna is asking that question to us. What is that? Ashandasya kuta sukham. Who else has asked this question except Krishna? Krishna is asking us, Ashandasya kuta sukham. Where is the question of happiness if you are 24 hours busy with your all chitavritti inside going on? Where is the question, he says? Ashandasya kuta sukham. Shandi is the one Krishna is talking about through Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And we have created a lifestyle now which is full of ashandi, isn't it? And in the middle of ashandi, we want a solution to all our spiritual problems as well. So that is where this difficulty comes. That we have to know where to draw the line. Where to draw the line. If we do not develop that, then forget about spiritual life. It is impossible. There's no possibility. Because Krishna can only tell us, look, this is the problem. If you study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, seriously you will notice that to practice spiritual life, you need some peace inside. You need some peace inside. Ashandasya kuta sukham. What more better question than that? Where is Arjuna? Krishna says to Arjuna, where is the question of happiness for a person for who is in ashandi all the time? Krishna doesn't normally scold us very much. He hasn't scolded us a lot. For all what we are doing and for all our claims, he hasn't scolded us. But in one chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has blasted us. Have you noticed that? 16th chapter. He has just blasted us right, left and the center. Then telling us, this is how you are and you expect spiritual advancement. It will never happen. So that's questions. So as soon as you realize that Aham Brahmasmi state, Aham Brahmasmi will come from this understanding. Aham Brahmasmi will lead into Tattvamasi also. That the truth is one. So, if one understands his identity as the soul, then, and you have realized who you are, then when you come to know, you cannot remain anymore in your identity as the body, on a bodily identity. The moment I have reached the state of self-realization, anyone who comes in front of me is also in that same state of the soul, of the spiritual reality. No more on a bodily level. It's not that one person gets self-realized, then he sees the rest of the world in the bodily level. As soon as, first thing is, one has to realize oneself, what I am. And when one has realized that, he will see the rest of everything in this world always on the spiritual platform. This is the beauty of self-realization or spiritual realization. So that is why if you look into Ishopanishad, you will see an interesting verse there. Yasmin sarvani bhudhani. It is the sixth mantra in the Ishopanishad. It says, Yasmin sarvani bhudhani atmanyeva anupashyate. Tato sarvabhudeshu chalpmanam tato na vijugupsade. There is a verse in the Ishopanishad, the sixth mantra of the Ishopanishad. Very important it is. It says here, Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmanyeva anupashyati. That one who has realized in all living entities the presence of the soul in him, Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmanyeva anupashyati, then sarvabhudeshu chalpmanam tatona vijugupsate. That he can only see, if he has realized himself, he can only see that in other living entities. Only see that in the other living entities. He can't see anything else. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmanyev anupashyati. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmanyev anupashyati sarvabhudeshu jalpmanam tatona vijugupsate. Tatona vijugupsate. That is a statement. Ishavasam idam sarvam. Ishavasamidam sarvam. How do you get to that stage? The moment we realize our identity properly, what we are, therefore, that is where the mistake is. That's not happened. And therefore, it is impossible that to see that in other living entities. Right at this moment, we can't see the spiritual reality in another person. Why? Because within ourselves, we haven't realized it. And therefore, our own idea about ourselves is an illusion. Isn't it? Our own idea about ourselves is an illusion. What is that? I'm thinking I'm this body. And when I have illusion about myself, where is the question of my illusion going away about others? It's an important thing, isn't it? Yasmin sarvani bhudani altman. That is why that mantra is saying, altmanyeva anupashyati. Then sarvabhudeshu chalpmanam tadona vijugupsate. You can only see the soul present in everyone or on a spiritual platform, everything, after self-realization happens to anyone. So, just like how we understand ourselves, the same way we see the world also. For example, I'm thinking I'm this body, I'm this mind, and I have identified with the body and the mind. Similarly, I see everybody else also in the same way. This is in our vision is like that you can't change. That's the way it is. How I understand myself, in the same way, with my raga dvesham inside, I will see others also in the same way. See, for example, suppose I'm very interested in the music. Then, anybody who is singing very well, I'll be interested to know about him, who is singing, another musician. My whole interest is in the, because that is what I am interested. So that interest will dictate my interest in the world, what interest I have got in this world, our external world. Everything, it is like that. Suppose I am interested in sports, in football, I'll be more interested in all the football players in the country who is playing. And I'll have a complete data in my head, which are all the teams, who is playing, where is playing, what games are going on, who is winning, who is losing. Even their family history will be in my head. All the football players, isn't it? In the same way, this is what I'm saying, this is what Krishna is pointing out here, that what you see in this world is what you have got inside. Exactly the same way. Same thing, suppose I am into bodybuilding. As soon as a very strong person walks in with a full of muscles and a strong body, my attention will all go to him. I will forget all of you, I'll be only looking at him. Or suppose I'm very fond of nice clothing, dresses. Well, anybody who comes in, walks in with good dress, well dressed, immediately my attention falls on that, on his dress. So in the same way, the desires inside, or what I consider important within my mind, that will be what will come out in my relationship with this world. So that's why it says here that our own understanding about ourselves is illusion. What to talk about seeing everyone on a spiritual platform. And so till we know what we are, that is self-realization, isn't it? Knowing what we are. And once you have known that, then you will have no doubt about anything in this world. This is how the problem gets solved. At the moment, you are thinking about so many people, who they are, what they are. He is prime minister, he is president, he is this, he is that. He is Hindu, he is Muslim, he is Christian. All these are nothing to do with the spiritual identity, isn't it? They are soul, present like us. The soul, it is present there in that body. So the bottom line is, realize the self. All the problems are solved with that. Otherwise, this problem will never be solved. It remains as a problem. So, that is why Krishna answered that question in a nice way. If you look here, it says, Vastuno, 22nd verses. Very, very precise words Krishna has used there. In the 13th chapter, 22nd verse, if you look, you will see, Krishna says, Vastuno yadya nanatva maatmana prasnami drishaha. Katham ghadeda vo vipra vakturvame ka ashrayaha. So, vastuno yadya ananatvam. Ananatvam altmana. Nanatvam altmana prasnami drisha. Katham ghadeda vo vipra vakturvame ka ashrayaha. That he's saying, addressing the Kumaras, my dear Brahmanas, he says, that Atma vastu, that is vastuno yadya ananatvam. Then Atma Vastu, it doesn't have Ananatvam. Nanatvam does not exist there. Atma Vastu is a soul, it doesn't have Ananatvam. Nanatvam. Nanatvam means it doesn't have a you can't break it. And say that this soul is different than that soul is different from another soul. This is our understanding of the matter, isn't it? Matter we understand like that. This is brick, that's mortar, that's radiator, that's metal, or that is plastic, or this nanatvam exists in the matter, isn't it? Similarly, if you look at the soul also and impose this nanatvam inside, Krishna says, how is that possible? That is the question. Vastuno yad nanatvam altmana prasnami drishaha. Katham ghadeda vo vipra vakturuveme ka ashrayaha. So, when it is like that, when Krishna landed there, he flew in, isn't it? Like a bird. And sat on the table. Brahma was standing there. The four Kumaras were standing there. They saw this personality who had come and landed and wanted to find out. They asked a question. Who are you? Isn't it? That was the question. Who are you? So that question was there earlier. He asked, isn't it? That question was raised. And when the question was raised, Krishna did not answer the question. Did you notice that? Instead of answering the question, he asked this, that who are you talking about? This you are asking who? And who is this you are talking about? So that is Krishna's approach. Krishna is also saying the same thing, that that vastudo yad nanatvam atmana prashnam idrisha katham khadeda vo vipra vakturveme ka ashraya. Since you are asking me this question, who I am, that is a question for Kumaras have asked. Kumaras have asked that question because, as I mentioned, in the marriage function, till you get the answer, you are not satisfied who that person is. Isn't it? So, naturally, Kumaras also, when Krishna came and landed on the table, this question started coming up in their mind. Who is he? Who is this who has come? Krishna didn't go there with the flute in the hand, peacock feather, yellow garment, nothing. He just landed like a hamsam there. So naturally they had this question, who is this personality who had come here? So from there you can see, Krishna has deliberately took that form only for one reason, that to show to them, because their question is connected with that form, the question they had, isn't it? How to separate the two things out. So Krishna says there, first thing is, let's begin with your question, he says. Your question was, who are you? Now, if you are talking about the soul, is there any separate, different souls? Soul A, soul B, soul C, like that? That's the question Krishna is asking back. That is called manatum. Vastuno yadya manatum almana prasna midrisha. Why are you raising this question? He says. Katham ghadedavo vipra. And how can I answer you that question? That is Krishna's answer. Because as far as soul is concerned, you cannot break it into pieces. It is one consciousness that's pervading everywhere. That was the question. So when Krishna said that, when Krishna says that, if there are so many vastu, so many objects present here, then you can ask this question. only if there is nanatum. Nanatum means there is separate entities existing. Then you can ask that question. But there is no separate things existing. And ananatum, he says, there is no nanatum. There is no nanatum, which is called ananatum. If there is ananatum, what meaning has it got, this question? This was the question from who? From Krishna, from the Hamsa to the Kumaras. Sridhara Swami says here about that also. He says here that the... Yadi Almana Tarahihi Tasya Vastuna Paramartha Suruba Nanartham Sadi He Vipraha Vo Yushmabhi Kradaha Prasna Hidrisho Bahushu Nirdharana Rubaha Katham Ghadeda Vakturastada Adarvo Me Mama Ka Ashrayaha. He says. So his question is here that the many things when it exists, yadi atmaha tarhi vastuna paramartha prapyaha prabha. That means there is so many things are existing, then you can ask that question. But not so many things exist, there is only one thing that is existing. So, and that thing what is existing is complete in itself. Purna vastu it is. Isn't it? The soul is purnam, complete all the time. No imperfections in the soul. So that's what he's saying. So therefore, your question has no meaning. That question you have asked. So he says here, what's the meaning of your question and who is the person asking this question? The same thing. That is asking, who is asking the question? Because if the questioner is different from everybody, then only he can create this question, isn't it? But as far as Krishna is concerned, the questioner is the same person who has the doubt, isn't it? So the soul is present in the Kumaras. Soul is present in Brahma. And they are all the same. And they are raising this question. They are raising this question. So question is that they are asking, who are you, to Krishna? And Krishna is saying, am I different from you? I am also made of the same material like you. Isn't it? That is, as far as the spiritual side is concerned, it is the same material what is made, the Kumaras, Brahma and Krishna. It's the same material which is spirit soul. Spirit soul. That is as far as the material function body is concerned. Then he says here that Vakturu Uttaram Dartuva Mamaka Ashrayaha. Who is the person who is asking the question here and who is the person who is answering here? Do they exist? Do these two people exist here? The person who is asking the question and the person who is answering the question. So Krishna asked this question back. So when he asked that question, and who is the speaker and who is the listener? First of all, you have to recognize that. Only after that, you can talk about it. Isn't it? If you are asking a question to someone, and if you are expecting an answer from him, and if the person who has to answer you is asking you this question, who is asking the question, you should be very clear that you have are a separate person from him. But when you yourself are not sure that you are separate from him, you are the same person, then this question has no meaning then. Question has lost its validity, isn't it? It's not valid anymore. The same soul present in the Kumaras, the same soul present in the Brahma, same soul present in Krishna also. Krishna is present in them in the form of the soul, that's all. So, and it is all one, that question is stressing that point. If it is like that, you are asking this question to me, so who are you then asking this question, if it's all the same? So that is when the problem came. Now, therefore, on a spiritual level, there is no question of answering your question. In other words, to prove to Kumaras that this question itself is a foolish question. Foolish question has come from you. Then Krishna says to him, there is another side to it. Okay, forget about the soul then. If it is the body, he says. That's the next verse. Panjalpageshu bhuteshu samaneshu javastudaha ko bhavaniti va prasno vajarambo anarthagaha. He says, panjalpageshu bhuteshu samaneshu javastudaha. As far as the material body is concerned, your body is made of material elements, my body is made of material elements. That's why in the Hamsa form Krishna is talking now. Krishna is talking, different times Krishna has taken different forms for different purposes, isn't it? Appeared as half man, half lion in one form, tortoise another form, boar another form, and fish another form. So many different. Avataram asankhyoyam, it says in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? So many millions of appearances in different forms. All that Krishna has taken. Now here he says, panjalpageshu bhudeshu samaneshu ca vastudaha. All material bodies made of material elements only. Isn't it? Fire, earth, water, air, ether and fire. And if it is, you are referring to the body, then also where is the difference between your body and my body? Your body is made of material elements. My body is also made of material elements. So where is the question to ask? So either way, the Kumaras started completely confused when Krishna put these questions to them. Because Kumaras were expecting some another different. But Krishna's approach is like this, that important thing to realize in Bhagavadam is that this question-answer business, we should leave it behind. It won't help you anywhere. If it was such a simple thing that everything could be answered by questions, if you raise question-answer, you come. Self-realization would have been a much easier thing, isn't it? We could have provided, you know, generally they put in all the websites, FAQ. They have FAQs, isn't it, everywhere. In any website you take quite often, company websites or embassy websites, anything, they know that people will ask a lot of questions. So what they have done, they have formulated this FAQs, frequently asked questions. So you don't have to send your question before you look into it, isn't it? So similarly, if it was like that, instead of giving us Bhagavadam, one FAQ would have been sufficient, isn't it? I could have looked into it and all my answers are there, and if I could understand it like that. But unfortunately, Krishna consciousness and self-realization is not like that. That's why this question, raising questions and getting answer is all useless at the end. That's why highly thoughtful people, spiritually advanced people, they don't ask questions in spiritual life. They don't ask questions. For them, realization is important. And they train their way of thinking, the mind, and their mind, they know where to leave it behind. If there is something Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam, there must be some truth behind it. We have to accept that first. We have to accept it. There must be some truth behind it. I am unable to catch that because my intelligence is not sushmam enough. It's not subtle enough. That is what is happening to us. But as soon as you come, you fire away question after question and says, if you answer me all these questions, then I'll accept what you are saying. If you say like that, what can you do? What can you answer that person? So you can't do anything about it. So that's why Krishna does the same thing here, that they ask this question, and Krishna asked a question back to them and made them realize that this asking question is not the solution to the problem. Straight away he did that. That's why he says here, Panchatmakeshu Bhuteshu Samaneshu Cha Vastuta. That Samaneshu Cha Vastuta, the substance is the same in all of us. So when we discuss Bhagavadam, we have to always stay in the spiritual platform and understand things, not thinking with our mind. Mind and intelligence has no place in this. It has to be left behind. So that is why he says here that 23 verse, Panchatmakeshu Bhuteshu Samaneshu Cha Vastuta Ko Bhava Nidiva Prashno Vajarambo Anarthagaha. That question itself, this is important, because if you see the depth of this question and answer, you will know in what a foolish world we are living. That is the point it's making. What says here is that, said in the jadam or dead matter, jadavastu. Jadavastu means all the dead matter, we give names to it all the time, isn't it? And then we give name to it and we ask the question, who is this, who is that, like that, in that way. So this is what is known in Shastram as Vigalpam. It's called Vigalpam. It is a Vigalpam that is doing this, that we give different false identity to a substance which is pure, Shuddhatvad, Nityatvad, Sarvagatatvad, pure in all states, Ashariratvad. To that thing, you are giving in illusion all these identities and calling by that name. That's what we are doing, isn't it? A soul has pure, nityam, eternal it is, it's pure, shuddham, and it's always conscious, and it's always liberated. That is why, if you remember in the Bhagavadam, when you looked in the earlier chapter, Krishna says, Bandho mukta iti vyakhya gunadome na vastuta, gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. There is no bondage, there is no liberation, it's all on when in the illusion stage. In the illusion stage. So it says here, vigalpam. So look at us, how many vigalpam we have created in this world, ourselves, on our own. So, everything you give a title to someone, it's a vigalpam, straight away. You give any title to anyone, white man, black man, Indian, American, Chinese, all these are vigalpam. They are referred as vigalpam. You are given the title to him based on the place he was born, based on the color of his body, based on the language he speaks, based on the on the qualifications he has got, based on the job he does, based on everything in some reason you have given a title to that person. Isn't it? That is called vigalpam. That is called vigalpam. This world, material world, what we are dealing with is full of vigalpam only. Nothing but vigalpam. Continuous vigalpam coming one after the other, and we are caught up in that vigalpam. And this mind is busy with dealing with this vigalpam. That's our life in this world, basically. So, after saying that, he says, so, based on the religion, based on the color, based on, then added to that, even when you come to spiritual life, there is vigalpam. Oh, he's a brahmachari, he's a grahastha, he's a vanaprastham, he's a sannyasi. Another vigalpam. That's also vigalpam. There's no difference at all. And so that vigalpam is very difficult to get rid of from inside. For example, not only that this vigalpam is not sufficient, as soon as you are born, I have to get a certificate that I am born. Can you imagine the foolishness of the whole thing? That I am born, so I have to get a certificate for that. I have to go to the birth certificate office or whoever registry and get a certificate from that I am born. I got this body, what more proof do you want? But no, then he says, certificate is not enough, you have to put your photo also on that. Another vigalpam. So you keep on putting sticker after sticker on you, on your pure identity as the soul, and you end up with ultimately a lot of stickers at the end. The inside thing is forgotten, on which you are putting this sticker all the time. That is the deepest illusion we live in this world, isn't it? We have all, Prabhupada used to say, you have divided this whole world into different countries, as though it's your property, he says. First of all, you did that. Divided everything into different countries and to different as though it's your property. And then after dividing that, you started deciding each other what's your limit and what's his limit. Where's the border for you and border for him. And you stand at the border and start barking at each other. That's what he said. Prabhupada said this so many instances. So you can see, when Vikalpam takes over, a self-realized soul cannot look at it in that way. He sees that it is only Vikalpam that is doing all these things in them. So, so we keep on doing this mistake, Vikalpam after Vikalpam, that is our material life. Now, if this is about the birth, what about the death? If I die and go away from this world, nobody need to bother about it. No. You should have a certificate that he's dead. Just see. He's dead. You need a certificate for that. He's dead. So, in the birth you start the Vikalpam. In the death also you finish us with Vikalpam. That's all the Vikalpam what we have created, centered around us. And we think we are very clever people, aren't we? We are very clever, very intelligent, highly advanced society. We have got everything, high technology, to do all these kind of things. So that there is plenty of money we can spend for that also, to identify a person who he is. Whether that should be electronic and it should be printed in the most expensive way. So to prove the identity of the person. So that is called Vikalpam. To take for example, Vikalpam can come in many ways in spiritual life also. There is no doubt about that. Vikalpam, these are all fundamentals of spiritual life. When you accept in spiritual life that there are certain standards one has to understand. Just like we were talking about, oh, there's so many demons in the Bhagavatam. Right from beginning to end is full of demons, isn't it? And I'm much better than all of them because I'm a devotee. They're all useless, isn't it? The funny thing is, as I said, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishubala, Dandavatra, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. No doubt they were big demons, isn't it? They were very, very big demons. But they have all got back to their self-realization has happened to them. They know what they are now. At least they have reached there. What are we doing? We are standing here still burning the effigy of Ravana here. This is what, so how advanced we are. Just look at the brain. That Ravana must be sitting there in the spiritual world and laughing at us, seeing our ignorance. Is it not? Yes or no? How intelligent we are. Is there any better example than this? Ravana left this world long ago. He made only 3 births he has to suffer here. With 3 lifetimes he made it up and got back. And we, after 300 million times, still burning his effigy and thinking that I am making progress in spiritual life. This is what we are. Ravana didn't burn our effigy, did he? What has he done to us? He has come, he did his work in 3 lifetimes and he went back. But we find a great satisfaction. See how religious I am? I burned Ravana's effigy too. Every year very religiously I have done that. And I got here now, where I am today. So, anyway, Vikalpam is there in spiritual life also. If you don't think about these things, you will be driven by all these things, what's happening there. That Krishna has given us some deeper understanding of spiritual life in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. If you don't think about all these things, then you will be driven by the society. Society will tell you what spiritual life is all about. We'll be following that. So, birth time, you have to get the certificate. When you die, you have to get the certificate. And you can frame them and hang it up. And you are on your way to somewhere else. So, so in doing like this, we make the life more and more and more complicated. In other words, you keep on increasing Vikalpam in life. It becomes one shastram, they call the word jadilam. Jadilam means it's so complex it becomes that ultimately you don't know how to free yourself from this mess. What we have created. This is our situation. We have created such a mess of ourselves. We are finding it now difficult to free ourselves from this mess. And then we are crying, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? What have we done? We have done. This is what we have done. Isn't it? So that's why he says here, in the verse, he says, Panchatmakeshu bhuteshu samaneshu cha vastuta ko bhava nidiva prashno vajarambo anarthagaha. Then anartham, then 5 material elements, then in demigod's body and our body also is 5 material elements, And they are all same. And when it is like that, your question is meaningless. That's what he's saying. So Krishna is telling us, think about yourself, who you are first. Are you this material body made of 5 material elements? So once you have realized who you are, then this question will not come from anywhere. The question finishes there. So there is no other truth outside that. That is the truth. To realize what you are. That is the truth. Once you have realized that, there is no other truth to realize afterwards. So, the another interesting thing is that to handle me on my own, I don't need the help of the mind. Have you noticed that? When you are doing something spontaneously, you are doing so many things in life, but in relationship with your own body and in your activities, you don't need the mind. When you deal with others, you need the mind. This is another interesting phenomenon. If you observe carefully, you will see there. So, chittavritti means mind, isn't it? As far as you are concerned, what you have to do with yourself, the mind is not involved in that. You are doing in a spontaneous way, everything. But when the mind gets... but if you want to handle another object or another person, or if you want to deal with something else, then you require the mind. So only another object comes in, the mind pops up. If I am alone on my own, then it is spontaneous. Spontaneity is there. Spontaneously, it happens. So there is no need for the mind. In other words, only when there is a relationship with another object or another person, there only the mind comes in. Only the mind comes in. So this relationship is a very peculiar thing with other objects. Our relationship with other individuals and objects is a very peculiar thing because it is Maya. It is Maya. That it may sound strange to you. Why I'm saying that is, all these relationships in this world is nothing but Maya. For example, we have given title husband, wife, father, mother, children, brother, sister, uncle, aunt. This is all nothing but a product of the Maya. It's nothing but a product of the Maya. Unusually, we think they are important, and that is why. So we are thinking like that and we are talking whole day so many things. So my brother came, my sister came, my uncle came, my aunt came, and we had a nice time together, this, that and the other. So many things we say. Why? Because on a bodily level, all these vigalpams have created inside all these connections also. Strictly speaking, from a spiritual platform, all these things have no meaning, isn't it? This so-called father, mother, brother, sister, all that, they go their way, you go your way one day. There is nothing more than that. It's not going to stay forever. And therefore, it is a product of Maya. It's a product of Maya. It's Maya's way of controlling us. It's like this, through all these family relationships, through all the social relationships, and all the other relationships what we created. So that's what he says here, that this relationship itself, that it's all only in the chittavritti, isn't it? It's only in the chittavritti. Otherwise, it's not there. Somehow or the other, inside the mind, it has got in and it is causing various thoughts inside. Chittavritti develops inside. That is where it happened. So, for example, give you an example. The mother is sitting here and if in the next room, the son or daughter is sitting there. Imagine like that. Son or daughter is sitting there. And they are talking there, each other. Mother is sitting here. Mother doesn't feel any more bothered what they are talking to each other there. There is no connection at that point, at that particular time, I'm saying. When, say, mother is sitting here and reading some book or doing something here, and son and daughter are sitting there, or the children are sitting in another room, and they are doing in their business. Whatever they are doing together, they are doing that. Mother is not conscious of what is happening there at that particular point. They may be doing anything there, isn't it? So only chittavritti comes, the connection comes. If there is no chittavritti, there is no connection either with them. Is it not? When chittavritti comes in, my son is there, my daughter is there, and you start going, poking, then you find out what's going on there. So that's where the connection builds up there. So if it is not there, if there is no chittavritti, there is no connection either. There is no connection either. So for example, just to give you an example, Sometimes, these are practical things in life. Sometimes, a father and mother has brought up children. They brought up and they grew up, say, 18, 20, 25. They got married. They have gone away. Got married and gone away. And then, afterwards, after 5 years, 10 years, like that, they live their life and the parents, father, mother, they are living their life. They will not be in their mind exactly the same way when they were children. Isn't it? When the children have gone away after the marriage and living somewhere else, they won't be present in your mind exactly the same way when they were children at home, would it? When they were children at home, you had the concern about feeding them, clothing them, and taking them to school or whatever activities you had done. All those things have gone. Now you are already realizing that they have grown up, they are living elsewhere, and that is the reality. You have no more much connection. They won't come into your thoughts as much as they did when they were children at home. They won't come in the same way. Then what will happen is, say, daughter got married, gone away. After a few years, she became pregnant and want to have the baby. And then they let you know. And then your mother will go just to help at that time. But as soon as it's done, she wants to come back again. Why? She does not want to sit there with them whole life, rest of their life. Why? Because it's not in the Chittavritti anymore. Chittavritti is not there with them, in them. This is the difference. I'm saying this, is that Chittavritti controls your life to such an extent that as soon as they've gone away and they're living elsewhere, your inquiry and your concern and your thoughts is not the same as they used to be before. Is it not? When they are with you, the Chittavritti is very strong. When they're not with you, the Chittavritti is not there anymore. Chittavritti is not there anymore. This will happen. These are things happens in life to everybody, isn't it? So naturally, we have to understand that it is Chittavritti that is taking me away from the truth, which does not allow me any moment to think about what my true identity is. You can notice this. Vikalpam comes one after the other and pull me out from the truth every moment in some form or the other. That's what it does to me. So if you allow that to increase, and that is some stage in life, we have to make sure that Vikalpam has its limit. We have to put, the more you succeed in pushing the Vikalpams away, the more you reduce the Chittavritti, the higher the realization of the soul. Otherwise not. Otherwise not. That is what the point Krishna is making here, that that the child, the relationship when you were children, when there were children at home, is different. It doesn't exist anymore. So all these relationships, who is making it? The mind is doing that, isn't it? It has nothing to do with the soul. That is why I said it is Maya. Maya is playing this role with us in a very subtle level, and not knowing any of these things, we get completely caught up in that. You see, that who is doing this? Who is doing this? The mind is doing that. Isn't it? Mind is controlling us. Practically, we are driven by the mind at that time. Either the vasanas will drive you or the mind will drive you. Vasana in another form is staying inside. That is what is causing this mind to act in that particular way. So, sometimes it is interesting to note, in some families, somebody leave home and he goes away to another country and he never comes back. 20 years, 30 years or something. First, initially, few years, they will think about him. Oh, he has gone like this. Is the mother going to sit and think the rest of the whole life about that child? It will never happen. After a while, they also forget it. So, relationships are only there when they are very close with you, sticking to each other. That's when this relationship is all has some meaning. And that's when it creates a maximum Chittavritti inside and engages the mind in these activities. That is how much real this whole thing is. Nothing more than that. If you start thinking, oh, this is everything in my life, this family life, and looking after family is the only business I have got in this world, and then there is no possibility of understanding what Krishna is saying here. Because these are things in a subtle level controlling us, and that's why it's called Maya. Maya will not allow you to come closer to the truth. It does it in such a nice way. Makes you feel, oh, such a nice person, so responsible for the family man. He looks after his family. So society will tell you all these ignorant things on you. And you will think that, oh, society expects me to do all these things, so I have to be like... This does not mean that you throw the whole family away and come and join the temple tomorrow. That's not what it is saying. What it is saying is that, vyavaharam, keep it as vyavaharam. Spiritual life, keep it as spiritual life. Don't mix up. They are two different things. Our business here is spiritual life, not vyavaharam. Vyavaharam, minimize it. Spiritual life, increase it. Don't bring Krishna and completely dissolve in your vyavaharam. And that's what we are all doing. And that's where we are in trouble. We bring Krishna. Krishna means spiritual knowledge. In other words, that's what I'm referring to now. Self-realization, that is Krishna. If you bring Krishna and dissolve it in our vyavaharam, Krishna will be finished. We will be nowhere. If you bring vyavaharam and dissolve in Krishna, you'll become successful in spiritual life. Vyavaharam should be cut down. Spiritual life must go up, increase. And the way to do that, to separate them out all the time. That's what Isha Upanishad were discussing yesterday, isn't it? Egatvad, Nityatvad, Shuddhatvad, Ababa Vidyatvad, Ashariratvad. These are all qualities of the soul. If you don't catch hold of these qualities, where on earth it's going to happen? We are thinking one day plane will come, isn't it? To go back home. That plane will never come. It may take you somewhere else, not the place where you want to be. That is Shastram. Shastram is only telling us the truth. Shastram doesn't have to mislead us. All these great sages who lived in the forest, they have, in the deepest subtle level, they have seen the truth. They can separate Maya from the reality, and therefore they can tell us the truth. If we get trapped in this Maya, everything is Maya. There is no question about that. Thinking that Maya will, I'll continue with Maya and I will make life a spiritual reality, that is not going to happen. That's what Krishna is saying here. That relationship, so because it is all done by the mind, actually what is happening is it's all vigalpam. Again, vigalpam. So if you inquire about all these things, ultimately, although all relationships are truth on a social level, on the absolute level, they are all false. On a social level, they are all truth. But on the absolute platform, they are all false. This is the point, what Krishna is making here. So, on a social level, we cannot live in this world without being related to each other. We have to be related to each other. But you will observe this in all the great speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam. Look at Sukadeva Goswami. Has he got any connection anywhere? No. Why? Because self-realization has brought him this understanding that either I am related to everybody all the time. I have no separate connection like my father. Father invited him to perform the second initiation for him. The son walked out. Son, isn't it? Yam pravrajandam anubetam apetakrityam dvaibhayano virahakadharam ajuhava. That it was then that Vedavyasa Maharshi is calling him back, to come back. He didn't come back, did he? He didn't come back. He walked out from there. Putra edi then maidayattaravo bhine dutam sarvabhudahdayam munim anatosmi. That's what has happened. That putra, 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 he was calling. What putra? Putra has gone. Putra is thinking that what is this father doing with this initiation? What has it got to do with me? I am soul. That absolutely in that state of consciousness. Putredi then maida yattaravo bhinedu tam sarvabhudahdayam munimanatosmi. That when you are situated in that state of consciousness, sarvabhudahdayam, present in everyone's heart, who is calling whom? Just like Krishna asked this question here, isn't it? So, paramarthiyam state, there is two things. What is paramarthiyam? Paramarthiyam means on the absolute platform, there is no connections. So, so we call dharmam dharmam in this world, isn't it? This dharmam, that dharmam. So many dharmam we have. So dharmam is all on the social level. Do you know what I mean? Dharmam is on the social level. So this rule or the law related to in relationships in this world, there we have to follow dharmam. There we have to follow dharmam. But otherwise, we are all independent, completely perfect living entities, souls. Purna vastu we are. Om purnamadam purnamidam. Purnat purnam udachyade. Purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva avashishyade. What does that mean? It means everyone created in this world, Krishna has created, he is purnam. He doesn't require all these things. Which one? Or it's not that he can only exist in this world if he has all the relatives and friends and social life and everything. We were not created like that. We're created in such a way as a complete vastu, purna vastu in this world. So that is why everything is a purna vastu. One purna vastu has no connection with another purna vastu. One is purnam, another one is purnam. But they both have no connections to each other. On the paramarthiya level, on the absolute level. So that at the same time, that absolute relationship, knowing that properly, very well, and doing what is necessary in your vyavaharam, in your transactions, that is called dharma. That is called dharma. You see, that we have to know what we are first. That in an absolute level, we are complete ourselves. And soul doesn't require anything from outside to fulfill its needs. When we talk about love, hate, relationships and all that, practically it is the vasanas that is causing that desires inside, created inside, isn't it? So from there they originate. So it says here that knowing very well the paramartham, paramartham means the absolute thing we should know, what we are, and then we have to conduct our business in this world, so long as we live here. We have to conduct, and doing that properly is called dharma. That is what is dharma. And there is nothing more than that, the dharma. The example is given that if you know yourself well and then you conduct the business in this world, then you won't be hurt. You won't be hurt. Just like they give the example, when you want to cut the jackfruit, you know this jackfruit, big jackfruit. When you cut it, there is that thing inside which sticks everywhere, isn't it? Very difficult. Housewives know when they are cooking this jackfruit, when they cut the vegetable, they have to be very careful. What do? First they apply oil in both the hands and then they cut it so that it won't stick anywhere. Otherwise it will stick all over the body. I think the jackfruit sell here, isn't it? In England sometimes they see them. So those who have seen the jackfruit or those who have used the jackfruit, they know this. This is the finest example for that, just to show us. So similarly, if you know about yourself, what you are, and in a proper realization of yourself, and then you conduct business in this world, it won't do any harm. It won't do any harm. Business has to carry on. Vyavahara must happen in this world. So, so sometimes what happens is the person who had a long beard, he was cutting this jackfruit. And this big beard got stuck in that white substance inside. And he couldn't do anything. You can't wash it off also, because it's like a gummy thing. It's gum. It sticks very strongly, like an adhesive. It holds very strongly. So he tried to wash it off. It won't go. With the water, you can't wash it away. So what he ultimately he thought, best thing is to cut off the beard. He cut the beard off because he couldn't do anything else. You see, in them days, today I'm sure there must be some chemical available in the B&Q to clear up. I'm sure there is something there. But in them days, it wasn't there. So now for everything there is something, isn't it? There's a remedy for everything. So, but that was the situation then. So that's why it's said like that. So, so knowing this very well, keeping this knowledge inside, jnanam, paramarthika jnanam, inside, we have to conduct the business and we have to perform dharmam in our vyavaharam. In our transactions, dharmam must stay. So, what is that dharmam? That is what Krishna talks about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is called as Bhagavata dharmam. Bhagavata Dharma means that. Not that Bhagavata Dharma I do, but I have no knowledge of the reality. Reality, I should know what it is. Knowing that reality and conducting the business in this world, which is called a dharmam, if it is executed as Bhagavata Dharmam, then you can escape from this world. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us. Dharma projjita kaida votra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam Srimad Bhagavade Mahamunikrade kimva parairishwarehi sadye hridyavarudhyade trakritibi shushrushubi talchanad. That second verse in the Bhagavatam is saying to us that this dharmam, that is Bhagavata dharmam, is that dharmam which if executed properly, how do you execute Bhagavata dharmam properly? With the proper understanding of the paramartham. Paramartham inside, what is the truth? Truth is something different. Truth is that I am nothing to do with this world. I am nothing to do with all this. I am not under the influence of this things that are thrown at me by Maya. And fully aware of that and executing spiritual life with that understanding. So that is what it says here. So knowing, having that knowledge inside and playing this world in the Vyavaharam, that is what it is talking about. Whatever that is to be done, that should be from. So that dharmam, without any attachment inside, because once you have known who you are, what your proper identity is, then there is no attachment developing anywhere. Because you know that other living entities are complete in itself. The relationship is not through the body anymore. Isn't it? You accept others. That's also a perfect, complete source of the presence of the soul in that body. My relationship is not through the bodily level. If that realization comes, then and executing dharmam with that understanding is called love. Is called love. Our concept of love is different, isn't it? Our concept of love is completely different. But if you understand love in this way, like the way Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about, then it will not be tainted with ragadvesham. It will not be tainted with ragadvesham. Ragam, attachment, and dvesham, aversion, happens in loving relationships, isn't it? In loving relationships, sometimes you can see some people are very much in love with each other and one day they become bitter enemies. When the marriage started, it was all ha-ha, everything was great. They could stay 1 second without being with the other person. Went on holidays together, bought the new house together, furnished the house together, and brought all the hi-fi together. Everything shopping, all the shopping was done together. Everything was done together. And then the very next day, after a few months or few years, something happens and both are running to two different solicitors. Why? Why is that? We have to ask this question. Why does that happen? Because of this. That not knowing what we are, where the problem starts. They have identified with their body to that level that together they thought there are two bodies engaged in, they're going to be together. That's why in the Bhagavatam, you remember that story? What story? Kabodam Kabodi. Sudeva Goswami puts his hand on the nose like this and looking at us. Are you not doing the same thing? He's asking us. Isn't it? Griheshu grahaval saktam tamarudachudam vidum. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam, if you look, a few verses before. Griheshu grahaval saktam tamaru tachudam vidhu. That story, Kapotha story, twice it comes in the Bhagavatam. Can you imagine how much it must be going through Sudeva Goswami's mind when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam? When he talked about this, Ashahi paramam, before that he says there, in the case of, when he's talking about the Kapodam and Kapodi, the two birds, he says here, Kapodam, he says, Yam prapyamanusham deham mukti dwaram apavridam griheshu grihaval saktam tamarudachudam vidu. Yam prapyamanusham deham. When Krishna sent us here, giving us this human body, there was one goal behind it. He didn't give us human body for any other reason. What is that? Yam prapya manusham deham. Why? Muktidvaramabhavrutam. That in this body, there is a strong possibility that you can escape from this once for all, of this cycle of changing this body, birth and death. You can free yourself from that. Yam prapyamanusham lokam muktidvaramabhavrutam. And what happened? Griheshu grahavalsaktam tamarudachudam vidu. Instead escaping, utilizing that opportunity to escape from here, what have we gone and done? We got so stuck in this life, in this family life or social life or whatever life we have got here. Griheshu grahavalsaktam. And that is where we got stuck. Tamarudachudam vidu. And we fell from there, from the reality. So there he said that evam kudum dashandalma dvandvaram pada trival pushnan kudumbam krivana sanubandho vasitadim. So Sudeva Goswami, when certain things when he says, he won't show any mercy. He doesn't care who hears or not hear. But because he is speaking the truth, he has to stick to the truth. There is no question of showing any compassion to grihastha. He's not criticizing everyone. He says that grihastha who is completely absorbed in the maintenance of this body and simply absorbed in the maintenance of the family, such a person he is. All these things, what will happen is, if we don't have this principle, what Krishna has spoken here, if it's not there, what will happen is that anything you do out of emotions, vigaram, if you do something for somebody, that thing is not sneham, that's not love. That is a disease for others. So, because by doing that, I feel happy inside. Therefore, I'm doing it. Nothing should be done with that understanding. Because if I do like that, I will suffer from that. Just because I do something to someone, because it pleases me, gives me some kind of happiness inside, therefore I am doing it. That is the difference between doing something based on the proper love, what sneham Krishna is talking about here, and the activities we do to please others. Thinking that we are pleased, actually we are pleasing ourselves in that process. So for example, somebody comes to visit me. I like he coming there, so I like it. Because I like him, so when he comes, I'm happy. And somebody else, and it's another day, you can see this in this world, so therefore I'm doing something for them. And tomorrow, I don't like him, so I turn away from him. This is what is called the duality of this world. This is Maya's another way of trapping us. That we are seeing everyone in this world, how much he is of use to me, therefore I like him. If he's no use to me, I don't like. Why should I waste my time with him? We'll say. This is told all the time, repeatedly. 10 times it's told, it becomes a habit also. That everyone, the approach changes in that way. That is not what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here that the loving relationship is not an emotion. It is not an emotion. Without having any emotions or excitement inside, what is good for others, knowing that and doing that for them, is called love. That is the proper understanding of love. Without any excitement or emotions, knowing what is good for that person and doing that for him is called love. On the other hand, many things what we do in this life is based on this one factor. What is that? I like it when I do this to somebody. I enjoy it. Therefore, I am doing it for them. And that's not love. That is emotions. It's coming from the vigaram. It is called vigaram. Emotions are dictating that. So, that is why he says here, if we develop a relationship with people like that, tomorrow you may not have that opportunity to do similar thing and to please yourself. And at that time, that person may become your enemy. That person will become your enemy. In all relationships, this will happen. The young man and the young woman, man and the woman, they got married. Mutually, they were doing a lot to each other, helping each other in different ways. But all that relationships won't last long, because the difficulty there is that the it is done for their own pleasure, not knowing he is complete in himself, she is complete in herself. There is nothing required, but at the same time knowing what is necessary for the other person and to do it with complete detachment, not expecting any happiness out of it, is love. For example, somebody says to you that some family member tells you that take me to somewhere to enjoy together, or to one of these what they call the picnic parks or whatever, amusement parks or something like that. And you may have to think whether it's necessary or not, or to do it. It may not be necessary, but if you simply demand seeing his pleasure of enjoying, the child is enjoying, and you taking pleasure from that, that is not what Krishna calls as love. Krishna's definition is like this. Love is that thing, when you know for a person what is good for him, and doing that for him is love. Where not expecting anything in return from that. So, otherwise, they can turn out to be enemies at some stage. So, so love is an experience like that. Dharmam is not an emotion. Dharmam is not an emotion. So, when I am consciously aware that I am complete in myself, and I don't need anything from outside for my perfectional stage, that in that perfectional stage I am situated and doing something, that is what Krishna calls that, and there is no expectation of any results, so you will not be affected by anything in that state, whether you get it or you don't get it. Whether you get it or you don't get it. Suppose you are conscious of this reality, that we are complete in ourselves, and nothing in the outside world is going to make me complete. And if that awareness is all the time, you will not be disturbed over things when it doesn't happen, or when it happens the either way, opposite way also. That's the only way you can come out of this dvandvam. These are all dvandvam, duality of this world, isn't it? That our duality is such that says there, isn't it? That Kavi Maharshi said that to the Navayogik Samvadam. You will see there. So, Krishna says here also, at what moment the other person will change, you don't know. So, otherwise, if you develop a relationship with people in the other way, purely based on the basis of that it gives me happiness, I'll do this for him, he'll do that for me. In that way, if your relationship builds up, you have to be frightened about that relationship one day. It will end up in problems. So there you won't be able to do the right thing at that time. So something you may do good to somebody else, and the very next moment he can do the wrong thing to you also. So knowing this tattvam what Krishna is talking about here, I should not do anything because I like it. On the other hand, the liking and disliking is coming from the mind. It's the nature of the mind. So mind will like something, and tomorrow the mind will hate the same thing. So in adhyatma sadhana or spiritual practices, it is like that. All spiritual practices, it's like that. Have you seen sometimes devotees say, I'm not in a mood to chant today. I'm not in a mood to chant today. Why? Why is that? Why does that statement come from a person? Do you know why? The reason is this, that you have developed this mood that by chanting I have to get something. These are very closely linked. By chanting, I have to get something out of it. So, when sometimes it is not based on any proper understanding of spiritual life or the Shastram, you are chanting around and someday you are feeling that I'm not getting anything, so why should I do it? See how the mind dictates. This is how the mind plays the game with us. That this is a sadhaka's first responsibility, that every day, every morning, to get up and chant the holy name irrespective of what the mind tells you. You should not be driven in spiritual life with the mind. And then you decide one day, today I'm not in the mood to chant the holy name. Let me leave it for tomorrow. We'll see what happens tomorrow. If I'm in a mood, I will chant. If it goes like this, that spiritual life won't go very far. It will get stuck somewhere. That should not happen. Why? Because liking, disliking, the mood, chitavritti, these are all coming from the mind. When it comes to the question of chanting the holy name, practicing the japam, or chanting the holy name, mind has nothing to do with it. You don't have to allow the mind even to walk, get inside there. So that's why it says here that, so whether, now, take for example, as far as eating is concerned, on the time you are eating, isn't it? There is no restriction there. On the time when the prasadam is not there. So there, we are not keeping it away. No, I'm not eating now. I don't want to eat today. No, it should be there at the time, isn't it? Similarly, dharmam vishayam. So this dharmam, when the four Kumaras ask this question, Krishna's answer is like this. So everything in relationship with others or other topics in this world which creates chitavritti inside, that's all anarthakaha. He says, he uses the word. You remember that? Anarthakaha, he says here. Panjalpageshu bhudeshu samaneshu ja vastudaha ko bhavan iti prashno vacharambo anarthakaha, he says. Anartham it is. It is only creating anartham. So Krishna's point is that if you allow all these anartham to come in, and anartha takes off, these are the anartham. We think we have given something else as anartham. I got a few anarthas, Prabhu. I have to sort that out first. Constant whole life is anartham only inside. There's nothing else except anartham inside. So that's where it's coming from. So there he says here, the vikalpams, what we have got inside, it operates in three different ways in each one of us. First one, on a personal level, anarthas are there. Then on a relationship with others. And then the objectives, different objectives, three types. So, in the Shastram, this is interesting. That if you look into Sanskrit grammar also, you will see this. Aham, tvam, saha. This is how it is. First person, second person, third person. In English, you study like that, isn't it? First person, second person, third person. But in Sanskrit it is aham, tvam, saha. It is like that. What it means is that in the three levels, you can create the problems. So Krishna in the beginning is saha. You see, before your self-realization happens, Krishna is saha. Third person he is. In other words, he stands in the temple in the deity form there. Is third person for us at that time. And when little bit of bhakti develops inside a person's heart and he starts developing at that bhakti and started realizing Krishna has some connection with me, that bhakti state, and that relationship is called Vishishtadvaitam. Yeah? So initially, when you are relating with Krishna only in the deity, saying that Krishna is only present there and I have to go and see him, he is saha. He becomes tvam when you comes to when through bhakti develops in a heart and we start feeling that there is a strong relationship between the devotee and Krishna. That strong relationship is established, that is Vishishtadvaitam. These are all based on, actually we shouldn't get too much bogged down by the technicalities of all these things. They are not the important things. Whether it is Dvaiti, Vishishtadvaiti, Advaiti, they will all agree on one thing. What is that? You have to escape from the cycle of birth and death. That is more important. What attracts your mind and catches your attraction, that is completely up to you. Nobody is putting any restrictions on this. When you leave all these things and start seeing Krishna inside, he is present right inside, that is Advaitam, what they call it. So this Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam and all that, on a level, you can argue about it. It's all an intellectual exercise, nothing more than that. If you start getting affected by that, oh, I am Advaiti, so I won't deal with, he is an Advaiti, or Advaiti thinks he is Advaiti. This all happened in the history, that's what I am saying. When they have not taken this on properly on board, this kind of disturbances will happen to people. We will get busy with these arguments and waste our time in this. These are different stages in a person's development in spiritual life. Somebody may think like this. So, aham tvam saha. Saha is that person who is standing in the deity room and Krishna is standing there. Saha is this. Tvam is that when the relationship is connection closer. Aham is that when he is realizing he is inside there already. Isn't it? And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all these three relationships are spoken in different places. So, that is why it says here. So, those people who have developed a relationship with Krishna in that way, that they have love for Krishna, there is devotion there. And ultimately, they are realizing there is only Krishna exists. Nothing else is existing. Therefore, and the same thing in the Bhagavadam, it is addressed in three different forms. Prakrita Bhakti, Madhyama Bhakti and Uttama Bhakti. Isn't it? In three levels it is spoken Bhakti also. So, when you are dependent on the Saha, that is Prakrita Bhakti. And when you are seeing Madhyama Purushan, Pradhama Purushan, Madhyama Purushan, Uttama Purushan. So, Uttama Purushan is this what is known as Bhagavadottama. Bhagavadottama is that Uttama Purushan. If you study this chapter, I think it is the 15th chapter, the Yoga of the Supreme Person. There is a chapter there in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? 15th, I think. Such chapter, if you study, you will see there Kshara Purusha and Akshara Purusha spoken there in that verse. It's only 20 verses, but it's one of the most important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Because with that 15th chapter, practically Bhagavad Gita finishes. 16, 17, 18 are called Khilam. Khilam means they are only to expand what has been spoken. Shastram finishes there. But after that, it's not the Shastram. It is an expansion of the various things already discussed in 16, 17, 18. For example, 16 is the chapter related to the, divine and the demoniac nature. 17th chapter is the divisions of faith, isn't it? And 18th chapter is the perfection of renunciation. Moksha Sanyasa Yoga, it is called. There is no Shastram spoken there. Shastram finishes at 15. So these three chapters after that, 16, 17 and 18, is called Khilam. Khilam means whatever that has been spoken up to the 15th chapter, if there is any thing to be clarified, in the sense that through divine and demonic nature, Krishna told us that what actually creates a favorable environment for self-realization. That is the divine demoniac nature. 17th chapter, divisions of faith, how the three modes of material nature influences your spiritual activity. That is the 17th chapter. 18th chapter is a summary of the whole thing and telling us that perfection of renunciation. Perfection of renunciation. Conclusion. So, when somebody is perfect, what is his state? That's the 18th chapter. So, 16, 17, 18, on their own, they are practically another supporting chapters for the knowledge what's been spoken before. You see? That's how you have to know this Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna says here, so when one, aham, tvam, saha, when it comes to aham, Prathama Purushan, the first person, is already a Bhagavadottaman. Is the remember that verse in the Bhagavadam earlier? Krishna has spoken that, isn't it? Says there that the that if you remember the when we discussed this three types of devotees, we talked about that. Get the verses now. There he said that Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashel Bhagavad Bhava Malmana Bhudani Bhagavad Tesha Savai Bhagavadottamaha. Earlier, who said this? This is the Maharshi asked this question that the Hari Maharshi said this. So, there he talked about three kinds of devotees, isn't it? Sarvabhudeshu yapashel bhagavad bhavam almana. In every living entity, you are seeing Krishna there. In everybody. Sarvabhudeshu yapashel bhagavad bhavam. Only seeing Krishna there, nothing else. Bhudani bhagavatyasha savai bhagavadottama. In other words, in all living entities, Krishna's presence and all living entities, Krishna's presence and all living entities present in Krishna. That is how it is. Bhudani bhagavati esha savai bhagavadottama. He is first class devotee, he says there. Then they also told us, Ishware tadhineshu balisheshu dushal sucha premam maitri kripa apeksha ya karodisa madhyama. A second class devotee, he says, Ishwareshu, he has love for Krishna. Tadadineshu balisheshu dushal sucha. That premam maitri kripa upeksha. Four different relationships with four different kinds of people. Love for Krishna, friendship to other devotees, kindness, mercy, showing mercy to the ignorant ones, and completely indifferent to them, they totally ignore them. Indifference to them. Premam maitri kripa upeksha. If these four things are present in a person, yakaryodisa madhyama. He is a madhyama devotee. And thirdly, he says here that archayam eva haraye pujam ya shradhaye hate nadat bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta pragrada smrida. One who is only coming to the temple to see the deity and thinking that only in deity he has some faith and in others he has no faith in anything else. So archayam eva haraye pujam shradhaye and no interest in the other devotees nadat bhakteshu chanyeshu. Sabhakta pragrada smrida. Such a person is considered to be pragradam. Very much in a very preliminary state. But he is also a devotee. He is also a devotee. Not that he is written off. He can come in due course of time. He can come to the higher state. So, when this question comes inside us, ko bhavanidhi prasna. That is the question, isn't it? So, Krishna is telling us, ask this question, Ko Bhavan, who am I? Who are you? This question, Ko Bhavan idi prasno vajarambo anarthakaha. So, as soon as you ask this question, it is not a sadhana. It is not a sadhana to ask this question. When you ask this question, immediately realize, so there is no such person as I at that point. Doesn't exist. Just like when you peel the onion, you keep on peeling the onion, there is nothing inside at the end, isn't it? It's all so many stickers over one over the other like thing. So same thing, you will realize that every time when Chittavritti happens and you ask this question, who has this Chittavritti, you will find that that person doesn't exist. Question didn't come from you, question came from the mind. The mind has agitated everything and you are stuck in that. That is where the problem is. So that's why when you ask the question, who has this question or who has the doubt, there's nobody there to answer that inside. To prove the point that it's only the mind is playing this game with us. So similarly, so you will notice at that point what actually remains inside is that living force, soul. That's what is inside. And soul is concerned, there is no question. It's only a Brahmam. It's only a Brahmam inside that has created us. So that is why the soul by nature, what has it got? It has got Satta, Chitta, Anandam, isn't it? So that Chit Shakti, from there the mind has come. From the Chit Shakti, the mind has come. The intelligence has come. Everything has come from the Chit Shakti. So once you touch the Chit Shakti, then this mind, intelligence, don't think, doesn't exist. So that's why there is no other question. Then he says here, Vajasa manasa vajasa drishtya indriyai rabhi. He says, isn't it? If you look at the 24th verse, he says here, Krishna, these verses are very, very subtle verses and very deeply absorbing verses as well. Manasa vajasa drishtya grihyadenyai abindriyaihi aham evanamato anyadidi buddhyadhu manjasaha. Krishna says here that mind, the words, the eyes and all the senses. Whatever you are seeing in this world, that's all me. You see, everything what you are seeing in this world, it's me. So he says here, there is nothing which is outside me. Outside me, nothing exists.
Manasa vajasa drishtya grihye deinyai aryab indriyehi ahameva na matonyam didi buddhyadva manjasa.
When Krishna says, it's all me, what does it mean? It's not that Krishna is not saying, I am all that. No, that's not what Krishna is saying there is, aham. That aham is referring to that consciousness. It is us, that same consciousness is present in all different bodies. Consciousness is one. The form, external manifested form in the body may be different, but the consciousness that is present in everyone is the same. That's why when I refer to myself, I'm calling myself as I. You are also calling yourself as I. He is also calling as I. So there's only I, only one I. There's not so many I's which you think that it does exist, isn't it? So I is only one. Then I, we all keep saying I. So what's that I? The I is this, that when you come to that platform of the soul, you have to recognize this, that what exists at that point, Guneshu, he says here, that manaso vajaso drishtya grihedeni abindriyehi ahameva, only me, namato anyadidi udyadhu manjasa. Anyadidi. Anyadidi means nothing separated from him exists. Nothing else exists from him. Buddhyadhu manjasaha. That he says here, nothing lives outside me. That is that realization. Everything lives within me. So, this. Then he said, at that time, we also saw that. So, Krishna says here, that guneshu javisa chittam, guneshu avishade chedo, gunas chedasi cha prajo. Prajaha, jivasya deha ubhayam, gunas chedo madal manaha. Krishna says, so, guneshu avishade chedo, gunas chedasi cha prajaha. So, mind enters into sense objects. And sense objects enters into the mind in the form of vasanas. Isn't it? In the form of vasanas. But both the three modes of material nature, the three modes of nature, and my mind, and the mind also, both of them are actually expansions of the jiva form, which is his upadhis. Which is his upadhi. Adhyasthopadhi it is called. Adhyasthopadhi means, these are upadhis that has come from the chit shakti in order to bind him. In order to bind him. So when chit shakti, from chit shakti, mind turns up, mind develops, isn't it? You know, we have discussed this a long time. That when chitshakti in the mind comes up, what does the mind does first? Chittavritti comes with that. Along the chittavritti, ahankaram also is there. I am. That somebody separate from the truth. So when you have that identity in that way, all the activities, what's happening on that level is all false. It's all false. You can imagine how conscious one has to be to stay in the spiritual platform. How difficult it is, isn't it? Especially in the beginning, when there is so much vikalpam we have created, and all the vikalpam is influencing us in our daily life, in the middle of all that, we are trying to understand what Krishna is saying here. That's why he says here, guneshu avishade chedo gunas chedasi cha prajaha. Jivasya deha ubhayam gunas chedo madalmanaha. Then gunam jivasya deha ubhayam gunas chedo madalmanaha. So here he says here, mind enters into sense objects, and sense objects comes to the mind in the form of vasanas, isn't it? As soon as the mind interacts with the sense objects, vasana is created. And then vasana comes back from there, from the sense enjoyment. And then comes back. So Krishna says here that gunam and chetasa, that means these three modes of nature, which has caused this mind, which has created this mind, and the consciousness, actually both of them are jivas adhyasthobhadi. Adhyasthobhadi means that it is not his swarupam. Do you understand what it is? That means, when the guneshu avishade chittam, three modes of nature entered into the mind, Due to the presence of the modes of nature, I am interacting with the sense objects. When I interact with the sense objects, it creates a certain vasanas in me. Both this vasana and the mind in which the three modes of material nature have nothing to do with my pure identity as the soul. It has nothing to do with the soul. They are completely different things, and that is what is troubling us. And therefore it is called Adhyastha Upadhi. In other words, Upadhi, they are Upadhi. Jiva's Upadhi is a mind, isn't it? So Upadhi means that thing which is actually keeping you in the bodily concept of life. The bodily concept of life. Gross body is a Upadhi. Mind is a Upadhi. Intelligence is a Upadhi. Senses are Upadhis. They are all Upadhi. Upadhi means they are not permanent with us. They come, they stay sometime, they go. They change also. But there is one thing inside which is never changes, which is always conscious of who I am. I am, I am, I am. That awareness. And which under all circumstances exists, which has never touched by anything, by the Upadhi. That is the soul. That is the soul. And these are, Upadhi is the one which Krishna is saying here, particularly the mind, the modes of material nature which has entered inside. Both of them, all these things are Adhyastha Upadhi. Adhyastha Upadhi means they are Upadhis in us, which is called our bondage, which causes our bondage. So that's why Krishna says here that, so what should one do? That Madhrubam Ubhayam Tejed. If you look, there is a word there Krishna used. Madhrubam Ubhayam Tejed, he says here. So instead of breaking up everything like this, breaking up what? Breaking up into, all into modes of nature, our chetas, the mind, and the sense objects, instead of keep on breaking it up all like this, try to see the whole thing as one. Yeah? Trying to see the whole thing as a Purna Vastu. It's a Purna Vastu. See it as a Purna Vastu. Krishna says here, then in that case, there is nothing else exists outside that. But once you start breaking up, what will happen is, you will keep on breaking up further and further and further. And you will be lost in that process. That is how this Nanatvam has come. Yeah? Nanatvam we talked about, isn't it? This multiplicity in this world. How did this come? Because the mind went into the sense objects, interacted together, and from that, whatever that has happened, we broke it up again. First we broke up into the mind, that has already happened inside us. When we were born, when the mind, intelligence, senses all developed, it was a breaking up process, what was happening, isn't it? I started one day, very definitely started identifying with me, who I am. And then all the vigalpams came. I am broken up again in different patterns. That pure nature of the soul is getting broken up all the time in different formats. Isn't it? In different formats. So when that's happening, Krishna is saying here that the madhrubam ubhayam tejer. Remembering that everything is this my form, knowing very well, give up all the other things. All the other dualities of this world. That is what. And then what should one should do? Ultimately, give up that also and stay peacefully in this world. And stay peacefully in this world. That's why. So that's what he says here in the verse 26. Jagrel sopnam sushuptanja gunado buddhivrtayaha tasam vilakshano jiva sakshitvena vinischidaha. Krishna is saying here, Jagrat Swapnam Sushuptamcha Navurto Gunamrtayaha. Gunam, three modes of material nature has gone in. And that has created these three states of existence. Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. Wakeful state, dream state, deep sleep. These three states were created by whom? By the three modes of material nature. Of course, we don't worry about it because as long as they get good sleep at night, doesn't matter. But the point is this, that when you are going in spiritual life and you are going on a deeper level, these things are important. If you want to understand why Krishna says here, in order to get this understanding of the soul, that what we are trying to identify with, more or less practically all our day is centered around identifying with the body, isn't it? So when you want to identify with the soul, you have to know what are the all the knots tied around the soul, in what form. This Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti is one of them, isn't it? From the modes of nature has put these three states on us. For what? Why should we have these three states? You can ask that question, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. And we, as usual, as with our great intelligence, takes only the Jagrat is the reality, everything else is bogus. That is added to our... This is all avidya-ingness. This is called avidya. Avidya means all these things. Not seeing things as they should be seen through the Shastram, but seeing through our mind. Why? Because in wakeful state, I can do all the nonsense what I want. So it suits me well. So it is the reality for us. Jagrat state. Dream state, we don't have any control over it. It comes and goes. And Sushupti, you don't know, like a dead man, you sleep. Complete avidya. Avidya at that time. So Krishna is saying here, Jagral Swapnam Sushuptanja Nivrto Gunavrtaya Gunato Buddhivrtaya. They are in the buddhi, in the intelligence. They are in the buddhi, in the intelligence. Buddhivrtaya, buddhivrtaya it is. Sasam Vilakshano Jiva. Jiva, he has nothing to do with it. Any of these things. So after knowing all these things, as Krishna mentioned before, Madhrumu Bhayam Tyajet, Krishna says, Tasam Vilakshano Jiva, after knowing all these things, Sachityena Vinishchida, just remain as a witness to everything what is happening. So in order to be in that state, first thing, we have to minimize the Chitavrti. We have to minimize the Vavaharam in this world, the transactions in this world, to help this. Secondly, after that, we have to start taking Srimad Bhagavatam and reading it. And then when we start reading Bhagavatam, if Krishna is saying something, we should understand that there must be a reason behind it. Without reason, Krishna won't say anything. Krishna is telling the process to Uddhava, Uddhava, this is the only way you can, how I solve that problem with the... Story is not the important thing. For example, how four Kumaras came, what time they came, how long did they discuss. If you ask all these questions, it has no meaning. Sudha Goswami has not gone to talk about those things. What is important is, what is the tattvam that was discussed between the Kumaras and the Hamsam. Hamsa and the Kumaras, Sanagadis and the Kumaras, Sanagasanadana Kumaras. So, question, what transpired between them? What's the message? Message is clear. They asked a question. Krishna says to them, the question itself has no standing. There itself, things are wrong. There, the very basic itself has gone wrong. So whatever you are trying to build up over that, it's all wrong. Because the very fundamental things are wrong. And then after saying that, Krishna is giving the tattvam to the Kumaras, talking the tattvam through them. The tattvam is this, he says here, that mind, the question, what was the question? How does the mind and the sense objects who are interacting each other, how can you break them up between the two? So Krishna's answer is this, that remember this Uddhava, this mind is nothing but a product that has come from the Chit Shakti. And in this mind, the three modes of material nature has entered. When they have entered, they have, what is created is they have created a interaction with the sense objects. When the sense objects interacted with the mind, sense objects created vasanas inside the mind. And you are stuck in this pool completely. Therefore, try to understand, he says, Madhrubam Ubhayam Tejet. These two things, trying to understand that the three modes of material nature is also not a reality, nor the mind which is completely affected by that modes of nature is also not a reality. If you understand this and reject both of them, and accepting that they have also come from me, means from the Chit Shakti, from the soul, then there is no question of seeing them separately from me. The moment you separate the mind out and start breaking it up, you are in trouble. Then you will keep on breaking up, and endless breaking up will happen. Once you keep on endlessly breaking up, nanatvam will come. That is how nanatvam, what he spoke about before. Remember that Krishna says there, isn't it? Vastudo yadyan nanatvam atmana prasnam idrishaha. Where this nanatvam, multiplicity, variety has come into this creation? Where did this come from? It is the moment the mind has started breaking up and it started creating nanatvam, there the problem has started. So, how to, we have come out, now we have to go back again from where we came. Originally it wasn't existing. You see, if you study Bhagavad Gita, you will see there in the 16th chapter, Devasura Sambhad Vibhaga Yogam. Why I'm saying that is Devam Asuram, two things, isn't it? Divine nature and the demoniac nature. You know who is divine and who is demoniac? Anyone whose mind is continuously going out is a demon. Anyone whose mind is going inward looking is divine. That's how Krishna addresses that. Anyone whose mind is constantly outside looking for and increasing this, breaking up everything and seeing different things in this world and the presence of millions of objects, millions of planets, millions of living entities and trying to study them, experiment them, all this is illusion. And that illusion, Krishna says, is the nature of the demon. Just imagine. That we think, oh, he's doing all that. Sometimes people go and do experiments, isn't it? Research on various things, other living entities. And how the sharks in the Arctic region is maintaining its body temperature. That's my biggest worry at the moment. How the shark in the Arctic region, how it's sustaining that cold weather. That's my biggest worry. Start a research team straight away. Go there. A ship arranged and for a few months they are doing research on that. So it may sound research and all. Bhagavad Gita says it's asuric nature. Asuric nature. Asuri. Asuram it is. Because asuras think like this. Asuras lost the foundation. That's why it is. This is, the mind works in that way. Mind find. Or you'll find that they'll find some oil in the Antarctic region. Let's go and drill there and see what happens. The oil will come out from there or not. So all these ideas coming out from inside is all anega chitta vibhranda. Krishna uses the word that vibhrandi in the chittam. When that happens, you have lost whole connection with the soul. And all you are doing is, the mind is telling you, and it is breaking up this whole creation and putting new ideas in front of you, and you're wasting all your lifetime in this thing called research. And that is the end of that person. That's why Krishna uses that word, if you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, that's a very, very important word. That is that chitta vibhrandam. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see. Let's look at that verse before we finish. So, it says here, anega chitta vibhranda moha jala samavradaha. Isn't it? In the divine and demoniac nature, if you look there, you will see. Yeah, 16. Anega chitta vibhranda moha jala samavradaha prasakta kama bhobeshu patandi narageshu chau. Padandi Narageshu Jau. Krishna says here, thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, one becomes too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and falls down into hell. Falls down into hell. So this falling down, anega chitta vibhranta moha jala samavradaha prasakta kama bhogeshu patandi narageshu chau. Krishna says. So spiritual life is saving us from this misfortune. That is what spiritual life does. That mind does not go like this. The way it has been spoken. Krishna has spoken to the Kumaras. We'll discuss it next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.